Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. It is a Friday morning. Sunshiny. Chilly. Fallish. Yep. Summer is down the road. But I know in some parts of America, down in Texas and other places, there's a lot of heat. Well, welcome to Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. This is our Friday edition. We're going to be talking about trumpets today. Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar, as with all our broadcasts, are extensive. They're not call-in shows. There's no room for call-ins. You want to talk to us? You have something you want to ask? Go on over to our websites and find the contact page on warn-usa.com. The people that want to get a hold of us and talk to us, that's the way they do it. And social media is there, but I don't spend a lot of time gabbing on social media, answering questions, especially foolish ones. And especially questions that are set up or questions that you want your answer to, not the one I want to give you. Bottom line is this: if you want to contact us, that's where you go. And if you don't, well, that's the way it is. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, as well as a few others. On Facebook and Twitter, it's WatchmanIS216. That's the handle. On Instagram and Twitter, it's Warn Radio, one word. LinkedIn, it's Watchman. And to listen to the show, of course, you can listen on Visions on Blog Talk Radio. But we're also on Blueberry and their network, iHeart and their network, a couple of iTunes feeds, Spreaker and their network, Stitcher. We have Google Play. We got, you can find us. We also have videos on Vimeo, quite a few videos, about 1,300. A couple of articles that I wrote. I write hundreds and hundreds of articles. So this is just a couple. The recent Vanity of Kingdoms and the Lust of Travail. And Heaven's Victory in Jesus' Name. Check them out over on DanaGlynnSmith.com or Warn-USA.com. Yes, sirree, trumpets. Rosh Hashanah. The traditionalists don't really like that name, Rosh Hashanah. And of course, there is a history of this and how their new year was kept. But for many, Rosh Hashanah is that one. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year, but traditionally it was trumpets, the blowing of trumpets. The Hebrew word terah, T-E-R-A-H, trumpets, acclamation of joy, blowing of trumpets, rejoicing, sounding. Well, you get the idea. This is a joyful feast. But it actually begins the High Holy Days, that you go from the 1st to the 10th, which is the Day of Atonement, and we'll be doing that one too. It is Day of Atonement is the only biblically specified fast in the Bible. I mean, the others are optional. So today, many modern, of course, I call them our friends. I interviewed Ari of Maoz Israel many, many years ago. And it's interesting to note, they keep Rosh Hashanah. Actually, Rosh Hashanah in Tishri, the Babylonian month adapted by Israel, made into the new year. That's what they did when they left. Originally, the blowing of trumpets was a memorial, a holy convocation. But now it's modern. They look at it, they incorporate a number of things into it, and they call it Rosh Hashanah, and you can call it trumpets. But within the feasts, of course, you have a lot of traditions that the Jews, you know, who are celebrating it use. And if you're a Gentile who keeps the feasts or Messianic, many of them have certain things they do concerning every one of these. And, you know, I don't get caught up in every single aspect of the traditions. I'm interested in the word. But, you know, we have our own traditions in America and as Gentile Christians. So the Jews are entitled to their traditions, as long as our traditions do not negate the Word of God. And that's why Jesus said what he did about traditions. By your traditions of men, you've made the Word of God of none effect. And as with, you know, many of these particular events that we have in the fall and in the spring, you begin with the lighting of candles, except for when we discuss atonement. That is, the Day of Atonement was fulfilled by Yahshua, Jesus. And today we observe it, but it's been fulfilled through the Lord. And a lot of these have a lot of meaning to it, especially when we talk about trumpets, and we'll get into that. And atonement, the Day of Atonement, fulfilled by Yahshua. And then, of course, tabernacles is another one. The fall feasts are really, really extensively prophetic. They point to the time when the Lord is going to set up shop in his own tabernacle, sit on his own throne. He will tabernacle among us, and we will tabernacle with him. Now, when we talk about this particular, the Day of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, it's known as the Jewish New Year. It's called a day of repentance, a day in which the Lord will come. Traditionally, many of the Jews will wear white on this, the men. No work is done. It's a Shabbat day. And this particularly is where Psalm 118:24 comes in. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so in Leviticus 23:24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, memorial of blowing trumpets, and a holy convocation. And in Numbers 29:1, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It's a day of blowing trumpets to you. Now, see, they use this as the head of the year, but the traditional head of the year is not Rosh Hashanah. That's just the way they do it. And it all relates back to leaving captivity out of Babylon. And we, for that matter, you know, of course, as in the nations of men, we follow the solar calendar, and the first of the year to us, of course, is January 1st. But when we think of Passover, we think of Nisan. And so the first of the year, in actuality, in the feast, is actually further down the road. But we, on this, you know, when we look at Rosh Hashanah or trumpets, we consider it a first of the year, like the rest of the Jews, like our friends in Mao's. The most important thing is to keep these things as unto the Lord. And you light the candles for both the new moon and for the feast. And of course, the many messianics would say a lot of the traditional blessings. Associated with us. And the one thing that I do appreciate about the Jews is that when they are praying or thanking God, and this goes even for their thanking God for food, you know, many of the things that as Gentile Christian believers, whatever denomination, many of our blessings over the meals, we will ask the Lord to bless the food. Well, the Jews bless the Lord for the food, then ask the Lord to sanctify to their body, which I think is really the more appropriate thing to do. Yes, you're praying over it, but the Lord is blessed, so we bless him for providing it. And so when they talk about the new moon recital, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe. I like that because it recognizes who he is, who sanctifies us with his commandments and commanded us to kindle the light of the day of remembrance. So you'll find that phrase, sanctifies us with his commandments. Well, we are sanctified today through the blood of Jesus Christ and our faith in him and his work on the cross. And the Lord himself said that I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So as a Gentile, and even if we do keep the feast, we keep the feast because we want to, not because we are going to stay saved or unsaved. That is entirely connected with our faith in Christ. Now, of course, when you get right down to it, and I've interviewed Messianics, and I have been closely associated as far as interviewing and talking to Jews that were pretty popular and had, you could say, miracles and signs and wonders following them. I'm thinking of one particular person, not a whole bunch, but the bottom line of it is that you can take these things and make them into the law of salvation, or you can make them into a blessing where you understand where God had commanded the children of Israel to do this, and also the fact of the prophetic type that it represents. And when we call this a day of repentance, you know, this is how the Jews look to it. Well, as far as a Christian goes, you know, our repentance came the time we accepted the Lord, and it's ongoing every day. And if we sin, 1 John 1, we can ask him to forgive us of our sins. And so we look at more of an ongoing thing, while some Gentile Christians, you know, once they become saved, they don't ever repent again. But we need to confess sins. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. We need to stay repentant. We need to always be on the lookout for sins and to confess them and forsake them. Now, there are sins unto death and sins that are not unto death. And, you know, if you murder someone and that person is innocent, that is where we call blood guilt. I mean, in the world, we're all screwed up when it comes to what sin is. You know, really, we have a lot of people that give their lives for causes that, you know, that's what they choose to do. But there are important things. There is a truth. And the truth that we herald is the Lord our God. And so when we do this, this is a good time to take a good lead from the Jews in this, and as Christians, from this feast forward to the Day of Atonement, which we are going to observe by the fast, and also the fact that since Christ came and we've accepted him, we can spend the day in repentance, looking over our hearts, making sure we're clean, praying for the salvation of Israel and for our loved ones. And, you know, this is the thing that when we talk about it, and of course, within all of this, so when you're bringing in the new moon, you know, you bless the Lord for it. And there's a lot of this stuff that goes back to the fact that even on the new year and anything special, they would light fires on the mountaintops. And it took a while before everybody got notified, especially if it was a new month. And if it was a new moon, they had to verify that by two witnesses before the Sanhedrin, then they would declare it. you know, they could tell what was going on by watching the sky. You know, they knew these things. And so they're great ones for drinking a glass of wine, you know, on Passover and on trumpets, and a lot of them, you know, the only thing you don't get into the Day of Atonement, that's because that's the day that's very serious for the Jews, and they will spend it reciting scripture, praying all day, and they actually extended it 26 hours, an hour before and an hour after, to make sure they complete everything they need to complete to in that day, because that's the day they have to get their name in the book of life for the following year. That's just for God's blessing and to stay in harmony with him. Now, see, the Jews went through all of this, the feast, even during the time that they were in Judah. The northern tribes pretty much, I think, threw all this out because they were separated and they did have their own idols. And eventually Judah had her own idols, her other gods. And but yet they would still go through all the motions and they didn't have their heart there. So that's why it is important. And Isaiah even talks about this. You know, the important thing of it is from the heart. And, you know, there's a lot of things that they do here. And the things that I'm going to be telling you are things that are wrapped up in a traditional Jewish celebration of trumpets. Now, there is no doubt that there's nobody like the Jews for remembering their feasts and for keeping them. I mean, they use the finest, if they can afford it. If they're poor, of course, they can't. Where we live, you know, and how we do the shows and everything, we can't get into extensive setups like they do. We just don't have the room here because we've been living in RVs for over 21 years. Around 21, somewhere around there. And it's our tent, like Abraham had a tent. We have a tent, and that's this one. So there's a lot of challenges with our lifestyle and how we do it. So there is no extra room for all kinds of fancy stuff. It's just the way it is. And so if you were poor, you know, you would keep it the best way you can before God, and he would recognize that. But a lot of them, they really do go all out. They're dressed to the hilt. They've got the finest spread. And, you know, you get through a lot of this. It is an amazing thing because they do know this. It's been in their heart. They've been celebrating these feasts, you know, even when they were scattered, many of them. Years ago, when I was catering, I catered for a Jewish family on one of the feasts. And they told me what they wanted cooked, and that's what I cooked. And they ate it. They were very gracious. And I left. And everything was the finest. I mean, it was all made up and set up, and it was a special event. Now, see, the problem we have with Gentiles, especially in America, we get so busy, and we don't appreciate the family like many of the Jews do, or even the Catholics or the Mormons. You can also put that in the fact of many of Islam who have big families. Nevertheless, the bottom line of it is, in the old days, when I was, I say the old days, but when we would have a meal, the whole family gathered around. That's the way it was. Nobody ate, you know, anything other than what mom was making. And if you didn't eat what she made, then you could starve. And so there was a centerpiece many years ago around the meal and family, and thanking God for the food. And today we're so busy. We go out and eat just pure garbage for food. And I'm talking McDonald's, and I'm talking all these other fast food. This is nothing but garbage. And, you know, if you want to have a heart attack, if you want to die, then you eat a lot of that food, and you will die early. In the beginning, when you're eating that as a kid, it doesn't bother you as much. But as you continue doing it, you get fat, fatter than you were, and your body begins to decline. And by the time you're 40, you're way overweight. You want to lose weight, but you don't know how. Well, I can tell you how. And that's why we have a new focus with the WIBR Warren Radio now. There are a lot of issues as you grow older, but, you know, we have been researching and we have found doctors that have proof of turning around very, very detrimental diseases that were known to be, you couldn't heal them. They you would never get better, but now we know you can get better. And it's a scientific fact today. It's been proven, and there's doctors, and we've been following a lot of these doctors, doing a lot of research on it, and we found out that it is true. And so while we look at all of this, it's important to know how life revolves in America and how we do this. Now, the Jews, when they come around to all their feasts, and see, as a Gentile Christian, you know, we look at trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, Passover, and of course within Passover you have the Feast of Weeks, which is leading up to Pentecost. And so you have basically Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost in the spring, and then you have Tabernacles, Atonement, and of course before that, Trumpets in the fall. And they're all prophetic. They illustrate things to come. And so when we look at Trumpets, we will be looking at the fact of the coming of the Lord. And of course they do have a bread there, and they will bless the Lord for the bread. And the one thing I like, and I never did this before, and Tower and I eat, we like apples, but we do not like all of the fructose that comes with it. So we're very careful about the fruits we eat anymore. And we eat fruits in season, which is the best way to do it. And then, of course, at the beginning of the month, we have a five-day fast that it concentrates on those things that will heal our body, as well as get rid of all the heavy metals that may have occurred the following that month. And there are supplements to take that help get the heavy metals out of your body, because your body cannot get rid of that. But the one thing that I appreciated about all this is that I liked apples, but it wasn't until I started dipping an apple into honey that I really liked it. Because the idea behind this, and the Jews are very good at this, and if you don't like Jews, then just hang up and go somewhere else. Because, you know, they are, as Paul says in Romans 11, you know, God still has an election set for the Jews, favoritism because of Abraham. And he's not going to forsake them, no matter how much you hate them. And the one thing they do, they love life, and they really do know how to rejoice and to dance. And, you know, I'm not like that. So it's hard for me to understand it, but I love watching, you know, a lot of the celebrations they do, because they're so full of life. And that's a shame today in Israel, that they have so many enemies. But this is all prophetic. And because they were God's chosen people, they're going to be the target by the devil until God puts him away. And so this is the way it is. And so they dip an apple in honey. And so you have bread, you have honey, they have desserts. And a lot of this is because they look at this as the head of the year, and they want to have a sweet year. Who doesn't want to have a sweet year, meaning good year, a blessed year? And so they eat this stuff looking for a sweet year and looking for God to renew them and to help them. And so this is the acknowledgement. You know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And this is what they do. And then, of course, they do have a second night, and they will do this same thing with Passover, depending on the time. They'll have two Passover meals, inviting friends in. And they will have another fruit, some kind of seasonal fruit that they've not yet tasted. Again, it's has to do with sweetness of the year. And the other thing they do I like, and it's all symbolic, you know. I mean, you're not saved or unsaved by eating an apple dipped in honey. That's not the idea. The idea is, as humans, we need all the reminders we can get. And when you dip an apple in a good bit of good, true, organic honey, that is, of course, depending on it, I chuckle when I say that because it's bee spit. And we followed this one doctor, and this was before a lot of the stuff that we know now was even known. They wouldn't eat honey because they consider it bee spit. Now, I don't eat hardly any honey anymore because of all the sugar in it. I don't eat regular sugar at all. I eat plant-based sweeteners, which are safer. But at any rate, you know, the bottom line of it is that we are funny people, all of us. And together, it's the uniqueness that is good. And they will eat meat, beef, lamb, chicken, or fish during this. And of course, you know, they eat the apple first to remind them, the apple and honey, before eating, because they bless the Lord and they ask for the Lord to renew them for a good and sweet year. And that's good, because we acknowledge the Lord. Lord, we want a good and sweet year this year. You know, we have so much division in this land, and we treat each other like just with contempt. No nation is going to survive that way. None. Not even America. And so, you know, there are people running against Trump. And, you know, there is a lot of issues in this country. But the thing I like about this, Rosh Hashanah literally means head of the year. So it is tradition for Jews, when they have their meal on Rosh Hashanah, to eat the head of a fish. Now, fish, it's ancient symbol in ancient times. I mean, Grecian and Egyptian, you know, Middle East, Mediterranean is a symbol of fertility and abundance. And that's very simple, because most of those living around the Mediterranean and were on islands in the Mediterranean, or if you were in Israel, anywhere, you know, when you had fish and you had plenty of it, you were able to eat. And, you know, the Indians here in America would use fish to fertilize their crops. They would actually take a fish and put it down beside where they planted it, and that would fertilize the crops, for instance, the corn that was growing. And of course, that was before the BT gene and the full corruption of our food as we have it today. So you got to be very careful what you're eating. But so they do eat the head of a fish, and from a culinary standpoint, some of the meat in the head of a fish is some of the finest, the cheek meat and other things, if you get the big fish, which they would be doing here, those that come out of the sea, the ocean. You prepare it, and it does have that delicate flavor that very, very favored in a lot of areas. So they eat the head of the fish, not because of the delicacy. I mean, that's just a plus. But they eat it as, again, a symbol, meaning head of the year. This is head of the year when they acknowledge that God is the head and that they ask for his blessings. And, you know, we should be doing this when we have our meals. And we get so, so busy. And I know Tower and I do. You know, our kids are raised. We got a lot of, well, I prefer not to say. I don't talk about family for one reason. safety. So, you know, you can't do that online. And I did a live video. This is a side point, and put it on our Facebook pages. It was a live video on Facebook, and I do talk about technology and to protect yourself and your family. And I give you reasons in there why you shouldn't be talking about your children, get putting pictures of your kids online, and you need to be monitoring what your kids are doing. This is very, very important. There's a lot of reasons to like the internet, but there are more reasons to be careful. And I've been doing this for over 2 decades, and I know what I'm talking about. And you'd be foolish not to listen, period. Be careful. And so they would also have potatoes. Now, see, we don't eat many traditional potatoes. I was raised on meat and potatoes. That was back then. That was your main thing. If you didn't have meat, if you didn't have mashed potatoes, and, of course, my grandmother added another one, and that was gravy. And the idea for her, of course, was the fact that many times, as a poor family, they wouldn't have potatoes. See, today, potatoes is cheap. But back then, if you had a potato to eat, you were lucky. They came out of hard times. They were dirt farmers. Very poor in the beginning. And eventually they worked it up where they wound up with a couple of farms, big, you know, did real well. They never got rich. Grandpa wasn't like that. He worked hard all of his life, 7 days a week, and died on the farm. I was helping him 1 week, and my folks wanted to go on vacation, and Grandpa told me to go. He'd be all right, but I didn't want to go, but I went anyway because I knew he needed my help, and as soon as we left, within 2 days, he had a heart attack working and passed on. Before we got back, I never seen him again. So that's just a side note. I do get off into those things because it's very personal when I talk about issues. Potatoes. See, because when you ran out of potatoes in those days, you always had bread. And the reason you always had gravy is because if you had meat, they made the gravy out of all the stuff left in the pan from the meat if you fried it right. And she would always have delicious gravy. And whenever you ran out of potatoes or didn't have any, or if you didn't have meat, you could always make gravy and put it over bread. And that was dinner. Now, see, we're so spoiled today. We don't even understand this kind of stuff. Now, see, for us, we eat sweet potatoes. There's a lot of different kinds, and there's is a sweet potato that doesn't taste like candy, but is actually white in nature, total white color, and it has a real good flavor to it. And it's like it really, in a lot of cases, has more flavor than regular potato does. But at any rate, potatoes, they would have carrots, leeks, or cabbage. And one of the best ways to have leeks. Now, of course, this isn't a food show, but because I've been, you know, in the food business, I've been a caterer, I've been executive chef, I've been a general manager, I've had my own business, several of them. And of course, I've become a multimillionaire. No, I haven't. Matter of fact, in no way, shape, or form. You'll find not everybody that goes into business get rich. And not everybody that goes into business is able to put anything away for their own retirement. And I catered some of the biggest minds in this region and the biggest companies in this region. But at any rate, that's beside the point. One of the ways is a leek and a potato, a leek and cauliflower. You make soups out of these with a good soup stock. That is really good. Now you can make the vegetables any way you want to, but of course, when you eat the vegetables, they have another little prayer where they ask for the Lord to bless them and that their merits increase. Merits before God, earning points. We ask for blessings on the Lord, and this is a blessing. This is ask for Him to bless us. And the whole idea is to draw nigh to God. And if we seek His face, He will not refuse. And of course, they also eat beets. And of course, beets are red, so they ask that their adversaries be removed. Now, see, I don't really do, you know, I don't do this. After everything I eat, I ask the Lord, I type it. Well, they're red, so my enemies, their blood is red, so remove my enemies. I don't get into that. You know, I just thank the Lord for the food. And I don't really, but the Jews do. This is what they do. And when they say the grace, it follows the meal. And they'll thank Him for the meal and for that blessing. But before they ever begin, it goes back to Deuteronomy 8:10. It says, "And you shall eat, and you shall be satisfied, and you shall bless Yahweh your God for the good land He has given you." Now that's in the land there. But it's a good idea today to bless your God for everything that He has given you, including the food you're eating. And one of the greetings they do is, "May you be inscribed in the book of life for a good year." Now, this is a different kind of a thing as we're thinking of, because they're not thinking of eternal salvation as much as they're thinking about the book of life that is the life of that's to live, and to live with God's blessing and to live a long life, the book of life. And of course, on the Day of Atonement, they do understand the atoning part, where the blood is the atonement. Now, Yahshua, when He came, His blood became the atoning sacrifice, and that's why we today, through His atonement on the cross, we can believe in His work. And just as Abraham believed God is imputed unto him for righteousness' sake, so it is imputed unto those who believe on the Son of God, that His work on the cross, that He died, shed His blood, was resurrected from the dead, was seen alive by many infallible proofs, left instructions for the church, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, is coming again. When you believe in that, in His, His work on the cross, His birth, death, resurrection, and His work, that's the atoning work on the cross. And that puts us in the book of life of salvation, redemption. We have a different concept. Now, see, back in the times, we consider the Old Testament, which it's not old, it's still pertinent today, but a lot of people don't understand that. That's why I teach the full counsel of God. I get into the old and the new. But this book of life, they didn't have that back then. They didn't have the atoning sacrifice per se, as far as having the Son of God. Now, Paul does a real good job of explaining this in Hebrews. And that's one of the places I recommend you read the book, because it will explain it a lot. And so now, though, when we go through these meals, you know, we realize that this is the beginning of the month. Now, of course, when we talk about a lot of these feasts and even the days, and this is what Israel does, you know, the feast begins at sundown. And even when we talk about, you know, this Shabbat, the Sabbath, it begins on the day before, because the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day began in the evening and went to the following evening. That's the traditional one day. So Shabbat is Friday night in the evening, just before sundown. Actually, there is a way to tell. I think it's the first two stars that show, and then that begins the official beginning of Sabbath. So when we were first doing that, we were actually looking for the stars, you know. And it's interesting when you watch the phases of the moon and you watch when it's full moon. Now, see, for us as Gentiles, we've always paid attention to the full moon. Well, the Jews paid attention to the new moon that is following the full moon. So it's interesting how this works. And so this will begin at sundown before the start of Tishri 1. And so when you're doing that, you begin, you know, both the Shabbat, and you have the celebration of Rosh Hashanah. And so you're looking at a lot of things here, including the new moon, the first month, the start of Rosh Hashanah. And I find these things very, very interesting and moving. Now, see, everybody has their traditions, including Christians. But the important thing of it is get to the God behind everything. Don't let traditions or anything else get in the way. And when you keep it as unto the Lord. Now, see, when we look at this particular feast, Rosh Hashanah, or trumpets, the focus is not only on the new year and, you know, and God blessing you. I mean, that's the practical aspect of it. But the spiritual aspect is looking for the coming of the Lord. It's centered around people to repent and get right with the Father. It's centered around repentance. It's centered around focusing in these things. And when you talk about the high holy days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, it also focuses on getting people, and people do this, they procrastinate. And especially in repenting or getting things right in their life with the Lord. And so this is one of the things to get the people, you know, God-centered for 10 days to examine themselves, to make sure they don't have any unforgiveness and other things that we shouldn't have, even as Christians. To get them focused, and these 10 days is what it's for. And that's why it's important. Christians can use this. They can use this to spend 10 days of focusing, 10 days when you think, is there anybody that I've had hard feelings for? Anybody that hates me because of something I did and I shouldn't have or something? You know, it's about relationships. It's about forgiveness. And the Lord talked about this when he mentioned this, that you go to the Father. But before you go to him, if you have aught against anybody, you go and make up with your brother. Then you go to the Father. And the idea is this, that if you can't even forgive your brother on earth and recognize him, how are you going to recognize the Father in heaven with all that unforgiveness? And if you do the horizontal vertical idea, you have this horizontal, you know, where the sun comes up and goes down, this thing that spread out, you open up your hands as you walk and people go by you. That's your horizontal, people you know, people you come in contact. And then the Father is who you look up to in heaven. That's the other direction. And so you keep this horizontal, in a godly relationship, where you're not in offense against people, and then upward as well. And this is what the practical aspect of this is. So while it's the Jewish New Year, it's really a Jewish High New Year, where it begins the High Holy Days. And it is also called the Day of Trumpets, as we've said before, but they actually try to blow the shofar 100 times during this, in which, as far as I'm concerned, you can call it the Day of Shofar, because you're going to be blowing a shofar, and the shofar and the trumpet, although the shofar is made out of a ram's horn. I was in the band, and we had brass instruments, so I played a brass instrument. At any rate, it's called the Day of Repentance. It's also the day that many people believe. And I remember Zola Levitt many years ago talking about when the Lord would come. And by the way, Zola Levitt, although he died a long time ago, his ministry is still going. You don't hear much from him. I'm not sure what they do. I don't follow him. You know, he believed that, and he would teach on the feasts, and he believed that this is the day that the Lord would come. It's known as the King's Coronation Day, the Day of Judgment, the coming day of the Lord. And, so while we said that the men traditionally wear white, I thought I threw that in there. It's not the women. The women actually... It's not uncommon for the men to give their wives a new dress or a piece of jewelry. This is the Jewish tradition, you know. But today, most girls don't even wear a dress. Some of them that I see walking around look worse than some of the guys. I mean, they're as scruffy and grubby and look like they drug out of some hole in the ground somewhere. When I was raised, all the girls were trim and proper, and the boys were too, in church, in school. Of course, by the time we got up the way in the 60s, of course, that began to change some. And, the hippie movements and a lot of that really did change the way people dress and stuff. So traditionally then, the practical, they're looking at that good life for the following year. And that's why they get their names in the book for a prosperous and a good year. You got to put it in. Well, see, in Christianity, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's the first aspect. The second aspect is to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all these things, that is, those things the Gentiles seek after, will be added unto you. Now, see, that's what we do. We seek the Lord. Now, are we always going to be prosperous and be absolutely at bliss? Now, see, the bottom line of it is that even though the Jews believed in a prosperous and a good year, they went into captivity eventually in Egypt. They went into captivity, both houses, when they fell away from the Lord. Today in Israel, they face enemies all the time. They have since they were, were there. So you have to temper this. They're not saying that you're going to be perfect. You're going to be absolutely blessed all the time with no problems. The Lord makes that specifically clear for Christians. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And in many parts of the world, Christians today do not have prosperous and good years. They have terrible years. They're facing persecution. They've lost loved ones. And this is part of the things of the end of days for the Christianity and for being a believer. You know, and so these are things that come. And, of course, another thing that they do, which we don't do much of in America, unless you come from a country that does this a lot, and that is go to grave sites and you honor your forefathers who have died. You now, for the Jews, I'm not around any Jews around here to see them put rocks on the grave and pay honor. But when you get into ancestral worship, ancestral respect, the Asians do a lot of that, China and Thailand, and you get into Korea. You know, all of these do that a lot, and as well as other people groups do. South America, the Native Indian tribes, you know, but for the most part, you know, a lot of people today, you know, they have an urn with a bunch of ashes in it, and they go scatter them out, or, you know, there's not a lot of people. We have a lot of graveyards, but you know, in our family, you know, neither my mother or my father have a gravestone. Matter of fact, I wasn't even at his death, didn't even get to make it, because when he died, you know, I live in another town, and my relatives actually took care of everything without me, calling me later and said, oh, he died. Oh, well, thank you. But you see, this is the way things are in life. And we don't really, and I don't go to grave sites of my ancestors, my grandma and grandpa. First of all, it's hard to find. It's in a big graveyard. But mom and dad ain't there. And even if they did have gravestone, they still wouldn't be there. And both my mother and father-in-law have little things, but they just have little urns there with their ashes. That's it. They're not there. I don't go to grave sites. I don't get into ancestral worship. I want to see them. And so I don't do that. So at any rate, I got into some things. Now, see, next week we're going to get into more of the aspects of what we're doing here. We'll be getting into scriptures. I've been pretty much looking at, you know, the customs aspect of it. And so that's where we're at. And we're going to have to get out of here because we are done. And so at any rate, that's Celebration of Trumpets, Prophetic Joy, 2019. This is part one. And so we'll see you next time. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.